teach us how to steer. It's just the crew, that's me and you.
Contact James live on the air several different ways. You can call by phone, toll free in the United States and Canada at 888-863-2722. If you have internet access, point your browser to www.feettofire.com. That's www.feet2fire.com. And check the left of the screen for the How to Participate text and click. You can then choose direct chat with James or join the official group chat room. You can send email to James at f2f@ipsmediaworks.net. There is a video chat room to see James in action as well as other F2F listeners. www.ivisit.com has the free software to download and access the Feet to Fire video chat room. And now, live from Chicago, here is the Black Knight of Talk Radio, James Arthur Yancic.
We've got to change the way we do the things we do. And we need everyone aboard to make it through. It's do or die. We've got to turn the ship around. It ain't a lie. We're about to burn.
I'll tell you, this song may be from the 90s, but it's very timely, apropos. You know, there's a Maple Spring going on, or so-called Maple Spring. That is the title. You know, it starts from the old Arab Spring and so forth and so on. Now, a lot would contest that the Arab Spring was not manipulated in some way. It ends up turning out that now they have the military dictatorship, so to speak, or military anyway, is in charge. And as you see the Occupy Wall Streets movements and Occupy whatever, Occupy X, a lot of that has come and gone. Some have said that there was not a unified group and that there were some people infiltrating, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it was brought to my attention by a listener, Ray, of this group, of this event going on in Quebec, where the students were protesting rate hikes in their tuition, and it has grown across bounds to other people who are upset with the things that are going on up there, and it's huge. And yet it is not being covered in the media. I searched around once I heard this, and I found a couple little references. Well, some students are complaining about higher tuition, blah, 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 and they write it off. And yet the alternative media is kind of silent on this too, which is a surprise. But one alternative media which is not silent, is in the thick of things out there, is a video program, CUTV, which is an extension from Concordia, it's Concordia University Television, and they are doing covering the news things, and they have been on the scene with the reporters right in the thick of things, getting hit in the head and whatnot by the police and whatnot. It is really amazing. Some of the pictures I've been sent, it's huge. It's absolutely huge, and it seems to be the best-kept huge secret. This may be the first real, quote, spring that is happening, and I have with us the program director from CUTV, Laith Marouth, who's been in the thick of things in here and is going to come on and talk to us about it from Quebec. And welcome, Laith.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so I appreciate the time. Boy, it seems to be growing, not shrinking, and it seems to be really getting the interest of the powers that are really coming down hard. The more I hear about it, the more people are getting accosted by the authorities.
Well, yes, it started 3 months ago now with a strike vote by the majority of the students in colleges and universities in the province against the increases of in tuition that were being enforced by the government here, the Liberal Party that's in power in the province, was proposing to increase it to 400% the tuitions.
Wow.
And so, yeah, with a majority vote of strike across the colleges and the universities, there was around 200,000 students on strike at the height of the strike. And they started, you know, obviously going out on the streets demonstrating, and with a huge demonstration in March 22nd that was around, you know, 250,000 people in the streets of a city of 1.5 million. That's the city of Montreal. It's a very huge, significant number. That was the first huge demonstration. And from that point on, the Liberal government seemed to have chosen a war path. So they decided to start deploying riot troops in the streets against the students who, for the majority of them being in, from college, are underage. So you had scenes of repeated scenes of underage, you know, girls and boys being pepper sprayed and tear gassed and beaten for doing a sit-in in front of a building or on a street. That's how it started escalating very fast from that point on. And us being in the streets now for the majority of those 3 months were witness to increasing police brutality and abuse or overuse of force against these students. There was other points in the past 3 months that pushed the escalation even further. There was another demonstration a month after that was included on the 22nd of April, and that was now even bigger than the first one, that it was up to 350,000 people in the streets. By that point, there was already a few students that lost eyes through rubber bullet shots to the head or concussion grenades exploding at head level of students. So now 3 months onwards, another demonstration was a huge demonstration was called for on the 22nd of May, and that reached record numbers of in terms of the biggest demonstration in history in Canada, 400 and somewhat 1,000 people in the streets of Montreal. That's basically 1/3 of the population of the island.
If I could stop there for a second, 400,000 people, about 1/3 of the population of this area you're talking about, and I don't hear about the news. That's huge. I mean, they had the big thing about what's going on in Egypt and whatnot, and the Wall Street stuff was there. And here is a grassroots across the board, not just students, but everybody coming out there. 400,000. I saw the picture of walking down the street. My jaw dropped, and I don't hear nothing about it.
Well, it's not convenient to, you know, in both in Canada and the United States, there's three kinds of media. There's the public broadcasters who are usually, for the most part, are, you know, regurgitating the position of the government in power at that moment in the government. That's what public broadcasters do anywhere in the world, from the Portuguese national television to the Syrian national TV to the Canadian broadcast corporation or PBS. And in the private sector, which, you know, repeats the opinions of the shareholders of that corporation, for the most part, usually owners of news agencies, are huge financial individuals in our societies, and that's the reason they bought those media, is to amplify their own opinion and influence over the population. And obviously, you know, for both of those two kinds of media outlets, they will, you know, play what's good for their holders. And finally, we've got, you know, independent and or community or campus medias. And that's where we, in general, we see the stories coming out, not only about issues like the Quebec Spring or the Maple Spring, but in general, change or criticism against centers of power in our society. So we're kind of lucky also right now. We're living in a time where media is much more accessible and the creation of media is much more easier. There's, you know, the expenses that used to come with creating television and or radio, you know, have dropped dramatically. People are able to record things on their own, you know, small iPhone that has a HD camera. What has happened in the Arab Spring is being now amplified in a different way in Quebec, where here that's, you know, the numbers of people that are on the internet are huge. So that's why we are able, by being on the streets and broadcasting live from the streets, to reach, you know, upwards of 90,000 people at a night watching our channel. And we're a community campus channel. So it shows that actually, you know, the audience, the people in general are ready to have better content and are thirsty for somebody to provide them with information that the private and the public broadcasters are not willing to. So in the province here, at least, we've broken the silence. Originally, the mainstream media, the private and public sector, were vilifying these students that were using nonviolent civil disobedience as a tactic, and even were calling them terrorists. I mean, the audacity of the language that was being used on these kids, it's unbelievable. Because of the huge numbers of people that watched our broadcasts across the whole province, it became so impossible for the mainstream media and the government in power here to control the message. And they came out and admitted that actually the premier of the province said we have underestimated, just like before him, Ben Ali or Mubarak in Egypt. He came out and said we have underestimated the power of social media. We've lost control of the message. That's in the words of the prime minister of the province. So, which is like, let's say, the state governor in the United States, for instance. You know, that's the party that is the prime minister, premier of the province, as they call him here. So, at least that's something that we need to think about as citizens and as people that are working in independent media. We can actually affect if we put a little bit of effort into it.
Yes, it can. And, of course, first thing that comes into my mind is when they've overestimated the power of media, does that mean that they're going to now do the right thing, or are they going to go attack the media base itself? I mean, I'm thinking of the Bilderberg conference that's going on now, and you have some prominent officials from Canada amongst that meeting. You also have the social networking giants from LinkedIn and Facebook and whatnot are down there as well. And so I'm wondering if independent media, social media, and the internet is the next big thing that they're going to go after.
Well, when we're on the streets, let me tell you. Originally, in March, when we started this live broadcast from the streets, and this is something that's groundbreaking, not only in terms of here in Canada, it's groundbreaking in the whole world. There's never been any community broadcaster or otherwise that has been following the demonstrations at hours, running on the streets with the demonstrations and providing an eye for the people to see the progression without any editorialized version. You know, you can tell from your own eyes what is happening. So when the police come out and lie and claim that there is a projectile that was thrown at them, and that's why they needed to shoot rubber bullets and pepper spray and beat on underage girls and boys, it was impossible for them to to maintain that lie, because it's anybody could see it in front of them by themselves. But the point, what I'm trying to say here is this, is that originally when we started broadcasting, the police themselves were not used to having a live camera actually documenting how they are arresting and how they are treating the arrestees. Okay, so the response was in March originally was to I was doing the camera work, and they started, you know, they were caroling, they caroled a group of students, around 100 of them, that were all not resisting. They had their hands up with peace signs and so on, and they were still beating on them. They pushed us back, and I was just saying, look, I'm not obstructing you. I'm doing my work. You continue doing your work, and I'll do my work. They pushed us a block, and then they arrested me live on camera. And that created, that was, you know, an obvious, stupid move from them. But it shows you how, the having that camera there is affected the situation. So that was the first way they reacted to us. They dropped those charges, the criminal charges. They gave me a ticket for standing on a sidewalk.
You criminal, you.
Yes, yeah, it's like a parking ticket, but as a camera person apparently, you can't film in Canada the police doing their work. So it's obviously, this is, I'm being satirical there, but the...
Well, you know, let me stop you for 1 second. In Illinois, where I live, it is against the law to film police, and the... penalty, one guy was tried and the sentence was life in prison, but he was acquitted by the jury over strenuous objections by the judge and the prosecutor. But there's actual laws in place. You cannot film the police.
Wow.
That's a crime, to film the police in action.
Wow. Well, that's Orwellian.
I hope Canada doesn't learn that. You know, I don't want them to go like, well, hey, it's not a bad idea. Let's do that.
Well, I don't think they'll be able to do that because, you know, since that point, you know, they started attacking us physically. So first they were pepper spraying me as often as they can. So we'll be in the middle of a demonstration broadcasting, and suddenly pepper spray attack. They pepper spray me. You know, I'm wearing all this gear, full professional cameras, full rigs, and a broadcast equipment, you know, with a flag pointing who we are and everything, and they've months of knowing us. So I personally and the equipment got pepper sprayed, you know, at least, 10 times. So that's one thing. And eventually, when the pressure mounted up so much that when there was, you know, tens of thousands of people at any moment watching our channel, which is numbers that allow us to sell for syndication if we want to on national television in the United States, because that's what you need. 10,000 viewers is what you need to guarantee to sell your show to ABC, for instance, or NBC or CBS or something like that. So these are numbers that are huge for Canada. You know, the whole country is 30 million people here, 30-somewhat million people. The population of the New York area, New York City. So it's from that point on, you know, we had one night that they were totally fed up with the police are demoralized after 3 months of running in their full riot gear after students that were demonstrating upwards of four demonstrations a day in the core of Montreal, other than the rest of the province. The police started losing total control of their composure. And in one night, they batoned and, rammed with their shield our camera four times in a row. This was the second camera that they, the first one already was they destroyed a couple of days before. And this one, but it still continued running, this camera, and in front of the whole process. So they decided to attack me physically at that time. After four times, it didn't work throughout the night. They started attacking me physically, and I didn't feel it at that moment, but I woke up in a lot of pain the next day, and I have two fractured ribs. Now, this is like a camera person for the most viewed, TV station right now in the province. Like, the major TV stations can't garner the same viewership that we have when we're live from the streets. The next day even, a few days later, they attacked us. Two lines of riot cops from the front and from the back with demonstrators around us, live on television, rushed our whole crew, beeping and pepper spraying and trying to tug on the wires to make us lose the feed. From two directions, the whole, and then they mass arrested us and 500 demonstrators. Nonviolent demonstrators that were doing nothing, just walking down the streets in front of the whole country. And our lawyers called them, the police, and they got to the commanders. And obviously, they wanted to release us. So, in front of the cameras, they come, the chief commander of the operation on the ground, and tells us that if we want to be taken, escorted out of the kettle, that we had the choice of turning off our cameras and microphone and our live broadcast and or stay there and be charged with everybody. So a threat to our liberty as a media outlet, in return for our silence. And we said we refused. They later on released us. But that mass kettle and that situation of seeing us being deliberately targeted, and those students and elders and so on that were working with them, kettled in that way and all charged with fabricated charges, brought out immediately the next day people across the province, in every little town and every little city and every neighborhood, banging on their pots, as they call them demonstrations, the casserole demonstrations, and that have now been going on for more than 2 weeks, just over 2 weeks. Every night at 8 o'clock, this whole province is out, every neighborhood. I got to open my window and listen to the banging on the pots.
This is awesome. I mean, this is like the movie "I'm Mad as Hell, I'm Not Going to Take It Anymore," which they tried to make fun of that guy in the movie, but in reality, he had he was speaking the logic. And now the people out there on their own has developed this way with the pots banging. I mean, that is great. I mean, it's encouraging to hear, and it's up to people to get this word out, because the mainstream is not going to give anybody ideas down here to do that.
Yep. Well, that's here in the rest of Canada. In Quebec, they have no choice. The media mainstream or not to address it. Now in Quebec, this has generated more headlines. This is the story that has generated more, the most headlines in history in Quebec, in all of its media outlets, and the most stories about Quebec outside in the international media. But obviously, it's not as big in the rest of Canada. That we have a very, very conservative government that is running the federal government and the Conservative Party. They have, for the longest time, tried to silence that story completely. And or when they spoke about it, they spoke in very demeaning ways about these students and those who are fighting for the accessible education. The you know, the language was, you know, about talking about them as if they are, you know, they think that they're entitled or they don't, you know, they're stupid or and selfish and stuff like that. While in reality, you know, it's a very unselfish thing for students who are graduating to go on strike to protect the rights of students that are in the future going to be registered.
Absolutely. I mean, it's all too common to have people, well, let me get mine and get out, and then others can worry about it. And yet people here are at the edge and risking their own diplomas to do that. That's great. You want to just hold on for a second? We'll take a little break and come right back.
Perfect.
All right. We are talking live about what's going on in Quebec on the ground with Laith Marouth, who is the program director of CUTV Independent Media, which is actually taking over numbers of people watching from the ground level. Excellent. We'll be right back. Could you feed your family for a year, 2 years, or more from your garden if you had to? Do you have the right kind of seeds? Can you save your seeds from your harvest to plant next year? Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seed packs are a sustainable gardening choice of home, homestead, and professional gardeners throughout North America. Heirloom Organic seed packs are designed with your specific space, light, and nutritional needs in mind. A one-pound selection of 22 seed varieties that can feed two people for a year for just $99. Got a family? The family pack has 27 seed varieties to feed a family of four. There's even a homestead pack that has 31 varieties of seeds to feed eight people for 1 year for under $250. And don't forget, these are organically grown and 100% non-genetically modified. And forget the Terminator gene that prevents you from saving seeds for next year's crop. The heirloom organic seeds can be harvested and saved from each generation to be planted the next year. Just go to our website at feed2fire.com and click on the heirloom ad to access a lifetime of natural nutrition and wholesome eating the way it was meant to be.
Make sure you stay tuned, because you're listening to Feet to the Fire.
Gravity-fed water filters. That is the magic word for guaranteeing you pure fresh water regardless of what happens. You can find a river, stream, some source, any source of water. These filters will make them pure as the driven snow. Berkey's been a big name in filters for a long time, and we've had many sponsors to sell Berkey filters all over the years. And we have a new relationship with GetBerkey.com, and let me tell you why. Because not only do they have excellent supply of British Berkfield, as well as the American Berkey, but they also sell an array of filters that are the ceramic variety, you know, the ones that James McKinney has mentioned and recommended. So now you can go to GetBerkey.com and custom build the perfect system for you. A stainless steel, the plastic, the British Berkfield, the Berkey, the ceramic, the typical black filters. You know, there were some problems a while ago with the black filters. I had some that leaked as well. But that has all been fixed, and I'm confident they're okay. But since then, people have kind of went to the ceramic filters like Dalton. And so I really appreciate people at Get Berkey for putting together all these systems to let you choose. No one's forcing you to take any particular brand or variety. They'll educate you on the website about what is what and how to do to combine them. So what you need to do is go to our website and click through on our links to Get Berkey. That's Berkey, the British Berkfield, and the Dalton filters, all there. The ceramic as well as the black filters. Get Berkey.com and tell them Beat the Fire sent you. So click through on our links to get Berkey, and you will get Berkey. Also, for Feet the Fire listeners, people at Get Berkey has put together a coupon for 5% off your purchase. 5% off your purchase. Just put in F2F. That's a digit 2, F2F, as a coupon code to get additional 5% off. And, of course, orders over $25 are free shipping. So there you go. Get Berkey and Feet the Fire. What a team.
Contact James live on the air several different ways. You can call by phone, toll free in the United States and Canada at 888-863-2722. If you have internet access, point your browser to www.feettofire.com. That's www.feet2fire.com. And check the left of the screen for the How to Participate text and click. You can then choose direct chat with James or join the official group chat room. You can send email to James at f2f at innersights.com. That's f2f at innersites.com. There is a video chat room to see James in action as well as other F2F listeners. www.ivisit.com has the free software to download and access the Feet to Fire video chat room. And now, live from Chicago, here is the Black Knight of Talk Radio, James Arthur Yancic.
Obviously, John Lennon speaking satirically there, but it's wake-up time, and apparently... The people of Quebec have woken up and joined hands and arms and started banging pots and are protesting in solidarity. Of course, a real protest that's not been co-opted, directed, or manipulated by the powers that be is not going to be covered. In fact, it's almost like what's not on the news, that is the real news. And luckily, you have people like Laith Maroof, at program director at CUTV, and his people out there are keeping tabs on this with on-the-ground video and getting the attention of the entire population, seeing thousands and thousands of people watching these videos. And welcome back, Laith. I tell you, I watched some of the videos, and your people who are filming and whatnot, I thought behaved exemplary under being beaten and so forth. They're still, they behaved themselves and were calm and saying, why are you hitting us? We're just depressed. And, you know, it was pretty amazing to see the control and the higher intelligence in the press and the people with them compared to the police who were beating them.
Well, it's very hard to, control yourself. We're all humans. You know, at the same time, it's very clear that the intent of this, you know, beatings and bodily harm and attacks on our equipment is to make us lose our cool and maybe have an excuse to arrest us. So although sometimes, for instance, myself, I would actually speak loudly and clearly because I want the microphones to pick up what we're trying to say, because it's important for the world to hear. And it's also important for everybody around us to hear the interaction with the police. Because a huge part of the problem is how the interaction with the police is always, you know, mystified or made to be a he said, she said. If you speak loudly in a public space and people can hear exactly what you're saying, then you have more witnesses. If you speak loudly to the microphone, there's more witnesses and people can hear exactly the exchange of words. But another thing that I wanted to mention was the fact that, you know, as it was very clear to the government that 400,000 people were out on the streets and that the population is behind the students and their decisions to say no, the government passed a law now titled the Baton Law. In the streets, they're calling it the Law of the Baton, Law 78, which prohibits anybody from organizing a demonstration of more than 50 people without giving prior notice to the police, 8 hours. Notice, and the police have the right to say no to the demonstration, or decide to say you can't do it in this place. You got to do it some other place. And the law also forbids any demonstration around any pub, any educational institution from kindergarten to university, 50 meters, I believe, yes, from educational institutions, which means the whole core of downtown is off bounds for demonstrations. And it also would fine any person, individual, that organizes a demonstration or decides to participate in a demonstration that doesn't get the permits, upwards of $5,000. Any leader of a student or organization in general, upwards of $25,000, and any student union and or federation and or, you know, unions in general, upwards of $125,000. All of these fines are doubled the next time they are broken the law, and it gives the power to the Minister of Education to disband unions, student unions, and confiscate all their financial holdings and their offices and their and to also not allow another union to come up instead of. So the law is so crazy. That, you know, Mubarak probably in Egypt wished that he had, you know, the power to pass something like this and that the media doesn't pounce on him.
Yeah.
So in response, immediately, you know, that's just the nights right after that were the nights that we were. From that point on, there has not been one demo in this province that has actually given its trajectory to the police or told the police that they're going anywhere. And that's where those casual demonstrations have really came out to say, well, if you think that you can pass a law like this, they shoved it down in the provincial legislature, because if they will have a majority in the House. And, you know, to the point where even the Bar Association, representing, you know, all those who work in the judiciary system in Quebec, said that this law is unconstitutional. And there was a demonstration of lawyers and judiciary, you know, workers with judges and crown prosecutors and so on, just a few days ago, again, that refused to begin its trajectory started from the Superior Court House in downtown, Montreal, and walked its way through the major casual demonstration that's happening. And so there's been total disregard right now to the law, and the government has not been able to implement it. The police are came out and said there's too many demonstrations. You know, after the last kettling that they did with us, the beating, then they said we can't follow them all, and they haven't arrested or assaulted anybody since that day. So the police have lost their authority. The provincial legislator has lost his authority, and they're the ones to blame. They've just humiliated these centers of authority in the society here with their own stupidity, to bring such a disgraceful law to and pass it. Is in a parliament of a supposed democracy is only shows how shameful those who are ruling are. Shameless, actually.
And I was looking, I looked up in Google, and I wrote in Quebec, and usually Google will finish off with like what one of the most common searches are. Nothing mm-hmm. about protests. So I typed in PRO, and usually it'll finish off like protest or whatever. Nothing. I had to type the entire group Quebec protests and then hit return, and then I started getting stories on it. And as I'm reading the titles of the stories by the mainstream media up there, all relatively negative or biased, the first one that I got to that was giving an accurate report of what's going on based on what you're saying was from Al Jazeera, of all places. They're going to go talk about what's going on there, and yet, you know, you look at the Business Insider, Toronto Sun, BBC, The Star, Globe and Mail, National Post, Toronto Star, all of them are looking at it from either, well, you know, these people can't control themselves, law had to be passed to get these people out of the way, you know, they're all negative. Al Jazeera comes in with a somewhat, you know, open, unbiased reporting.
Well, this is where it's actually becoming disturbing sometimes watching mainstream media in the English world, but in the West in general right now. You know, 20 years ago, the propaganda was much better of these mainstream outlets. In the West, and it seems like they've gotten so lazy in their propaganda that it's as on the level of the same national television propaganda. Watching mainstream media in Canada and the United States, and I believe everybody, majority of citizens anywhere in any country in the world are smarter than what the mainstream want us to believe. And are thirsty and waiting for somebody to provide them with a more truthful, news and/or better, content. That's where we're. I'm very hopeful looking at the model that we are building here with CUTV, which you can visit us at CUTVMontreal.ca. If you'd like to watch the live broadcast and or other content that is produced by the community, we're a community television station. I think the model should be that we try to pass as much of the knowledge of how to create media to as many communities with an S in the end as possible, and give them access to the equipment. And here you go, you'll have a clear... better look at the reality of our diversity and what's happening in each of one of our communities, people will go and watch that because they are looking for that. They'd rather watch reality television that is broadcasting live from the streets of a community around these issues than reality television around, Jersey Shore, if they're given the choice. But they are not given the choice. And that's what the mainstream media tells us, that no, the viewer is dumb. They want to watch, really... It's not to say that we shouldn't have things like the Jersey Shore, obviously freedom of speech is paramount to everybody. But the point is, if there's another choice, most people wouldn't watch something like that.
Mm. Now, you mentioned your website already, but it's cutvmontreal.ca. You have the links to watch the live broadcast. What are you using for the live broadcasts? Is it like...
Well, the technology is called LiveView. It's a backpack that has seven 4G cards. It works on a 4G telephone network. So it broadcasts on that to a server in our studios, which then sends it out on the internet through a live stream, which is
Live stream.
Yeah.
I've used it myself on occasion. Live stream, that is.
Yeah.
Now, is it possible that in the attempt that they may attempt to disrupt your broadcasts?
Well, we have been,